Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first council meeting of 2022 and also the first council meeting of the new term of Lachlan Shire. And first of all, I'd like to make a very warm welcome to our two new councillors, Councillor Judith Bartholomew. Welcome, and thank you very much for putting your name forward and doing the job. We look forward to your contribution to that over the next 2 years and 9 months. And same to you, Megan, Councillor. And being an A Ward representative, look forward to working with you and working as we all realise you. And I know we're looking after A Ward as well, but we are also looking after Lachlan Shire. There's no question about that. And welcome to all our other councillors for putting their names forward, even though their wards were uncontested. You did put your name forward to represent your areas and become a Lachlan Shire councillor, and thank you very much for doing that. And we look forward to working with you over the next 4 months. Hopefully we can get rid of this pandemic, and that might make life a little bit easier. And just before I do go on to, we had Australia Day yesterday and the opening of the Youth Centre and the amenities block at Lake Angelico. And and also the Australia Day functions and that sort of thing, and I think it was a terrific day, and our ambassador was just unbelievable as far as I'm concerned. Her story is just something that, someone who's her beginnings and what she ended up being doing and what she's doing now and what she wants to do, she's definitely doing it my way, and I do congratulate her for that. Anyway, before we go any further, I'd just like to ask our Councillor Paul Phillips, the Deputy Mayor. Oh, we record. Yes, we don't forget we're recording this meeting. We've started already, and also I just remind people that we are recording. Please make sure that you don't use any words that will upset people and that sort of thing, and enjoy it. And also, I just would like to say too that as we are recording this meeting, if you want to speak, please indicate with your hand so that I can call your name. So that there's decorum, and try and use the name. I was very happy about what happened yesterday, but any more about that. And work on those lines. All right, I'd like to ask the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Paul Phillips, if he'd like to do the acknowledgement to country. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. I begin today by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet today, and I pay my respects to their elders, past and present. I extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. I think we've only got one leave of absence, and it's Councillor Peter Harris, and he's asked for a request of absence.
Seconded,
Councillor Phillips. There's no questions. All those in favour? As against? Carried. All right, now we'll go. I find this hard to believe. Confirmation of the minutes, ordinary meeting the 24th of November 2021. Would someone like to move that?
I move.
Meeting. Councillor Endall. Seconder, Councillor Rees. We're starting off on the right foot. Are any questions on those minutes back in November? If there's no, or sounds like a true and correct recording. All those in favour?
Yeah.
This now, the extraordinary meeting, which was held on the 11th of January 2022, moved Councillor Brady, seconded Councillor Carter. I believe that is a true and correct recording of that particular meeting. Is there any questions? I think we do have a question.
I just wanted to make a comment. Councillors, the first item in the business paper, after I conducted the mayoral and deputy mayoral elections and declared the result, was then to nominate delegates to committees, and we neglected to get a mover and a seconder for that report at the meeting. While it was discussed and everybody reached consensus, we just wanted to record in the minutes that there was no mover and seconder, and ask that the endorsing of the minutes reflect the fact that that report was adopted.
Well, can we just put that into what we just passed?
No, can we just get the mover and seconder of those particular...
I'm ready to do that.
Happy that, Dave? So, Paul... You right with that? Yep. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Okay. I was going to ask the question, is everybody still happy with what they've put their names down for in the representative of all those different committees. We'll move on. All those in favour? Those against? Those carried. Now, moving on to page 21. I think that should come up on your iPads and that sort of thing too, I think. That's where...
22, I think it is, Mr. Mayor.
Right, for the Merrill Minute. Yep. So it's 4.1. Would someone like to move that Merrill Minute with meetings and functions, sort of the recommendations, Councillor Blewett, Councillor Bendall. All right, any questions on this? There's not a lot there this time, because it only goes from the 11th of January. Any questions on what was done in that time period? All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? It's carried. Right, public forum. We don't have any public forum today. It's not good. We'd like to see some people here, don't we?
Yeah.
Six, on the same page there, disclosures of interest. Anyone got any disclosures of interest in this business?
I'll make a few disclosures, only that they could be looked upon us. Okay. 8.2.
Push your button.
8.2, page 62, Youth Services Report, because I'm on the Western Plains Board. 8.4, the Rotary Donations. And 18.1 on page 3, Rotary Request. From a Rotary.
Right, any other? That's it, Dennis?
That's it.
Any other disclosures of interest in the particular group have? There's not. Right, we shall move along now to page 23. The first report is General Manager Report 7.1, the funding obligation for councillors and mayors. Someone like to move that recommendation?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Councillor Blewett. I did look to the left there.
I know you did, mate. No.
I'm just missing Peter Harris.
You should have turned me phone off.
Apple or something, you know.
Didn't give you a phone call, did he? Any questions on the electoral funding? Everybody understand what they've got to do when it comes to reports? Guess Councillor Blewett.
So it's my understanding that we now do these through electronically, like through the internet. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that now. It's not a case of doing it yourself. You have to make an account and do all of that.
Not necessarily. I think I'm right. Karen might be able to.
Yeah, sorry. I'm
wrong.
Trying to clarify.
It all should come to your emails. Tell you what, because I think the first one's due now.
Yep. And you can ask for the forms to be sent to you by email.
Yeah, if you.
Then you can scan them and send them back to them.
Yeah. Right.
We can print them off.
You can also register through this.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
You can do it online.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Once you're registered.
Yeah.
I registered and then they say I'm not registered any longer.
Oh.
But anyway.
I was just trying to make sure that everyone knew the process.
No, true. Yeah, like it's every 6 months anyway. I think that's all pretty well explained.
And so we got to do it. The council's already been elected. We've got to do it.
Right. All those in favour?
Yeah.
Those against? That is carried. Now, moving on to page 31. 7.2, active resolutions for January. Someone would like to move the recommendation, please?
Yes.
Carter, seconded. Bendall. Any questions? You've got quite a list there. Someone go back a while, but
that's right.
On the active resolutions.
Well, just on 1, 2, 3.
All right, Dennis Brady, would you like to ask a question?
Yeah, on the Office of Parade Residents. Moving along quite a lot.
Yes, it is. There was, as indicated in the report, there was a successful negotiation. I'll speak in confidential about the final agreement. And the contracts have been signed. And actually, Council Solicitor was in here only half an hour ago signing the licence agreement for early access. And as soon as we have received the deposit, the property will be effectively sold.
Well done.
Yep. We're going to put a licence in for a real estate agent soon.
Sure.
Right. All those in favour? Oh, sorry. Well, before I do that, is there any other questions on the active resolutions? I think like everybody's looks like all questions.
I can't find it, but it's 353.
Sorry.
I think I'm in the right section. 353, waste facilities at the lake. Have we got approval from Crown Lands? Or...
I think that'll be a John Shaletto would answer that.
Mr. Mayor, we're still discussing that with our solicitors about the process that we need to undertake. Unfortunately, it's not a quick and easy process, but to answer the question is not as yet.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for the question. If there's no other questions, resolutions, I shall call on all those in favour.
Aye.
As against, that is carried. All right, moving on to page 52. That's the end of the General Manager's report. Page 52, under 8, Corporate and Community Service. The first one is 8.1. 8.1, which is Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee Chairperson Recruitment Process. Someone like to move the recommendation?
Yeah.
Councillor Castle Brady. Second up. Councillor Mortimer. Any questions on the process there? Would you want to update there?
Karen.
Yeah, I would like to
just bring a couple of things to councillors' attention.
Especially
for the new councillors, when council adopted its terms of reference, council asked that the chairman, or the chairperson of the committee, be appointed for a 2-year period with an option of 2 years, a further 2 years, depending on
their achieving satisfactory performance appraisal. So what you'll find here today is, besides the ad for the expression of interest, the expression of interest package, it also has the chair performance review, proposed performance review, just to make sure that councillors are happy with that, because if you do, that's what will go out with the expression of interest. So that's how you will have to assess when the assessment panel will have to assess the chairs at the end of their first 2 years to see if they then do move on from there. So
just want to make sure everyone's happy with that.
Any questions on that? We've been through this before, and just understanding, making sure that we're on the same track, that any decision or anything.
You haven't seen the performance review before. Yeah. I'm just looking for a direction on council to make sure they're happy with the expression of interest that's going to be advertised and the performance review procedure.
Right. So,
council,
I think they've had it all in front of them and they're taking your direction. I think they're quite happy with what has been written down, and we'll see. It's about to go out, isn't it? The advert.
Mr. Mayor, can I just ask one question on that?
Yes, Councillor Brady.
We're paying him $1,200 a sitting to come. After the 2 years, and we're quite happy with the chairman, will he be then asking for a further increase, or are we leaving it at $1,200 for the first 4 years?
Karen.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question, Councillor Brady. So what will you have in the policy is that it's up to $1,200 per meeting, depending on
basically the calibre and the experience
of that person. Each year then, under the policy, there's a potential for an increase in their salary based on
the increase from the local government review tribunal for mayors and councillors.
So if that's to come out and say councillors and mayors are entitled to a 2% rise, then they will automatically have that rise apply. Other than that, I suppose they could ask, but we'd have to go back to council for a decision.
And it would depend on our budget and whether council felt that they were happy to support that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that answers the question. So there is a review process in there, which I would just ask the same question there. So any other questions on that? If not, all those in favour?
All right.
That's against. That's carried. Right, now we're going to page 62, 8.2, Youth Services Report, Quarterly Report, July to September 2021 and October to December 2021. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please?
I will.
Moved.
Councillor Bendall, Councillor Phillips. Questions on that? Karen, you want to come forward? Have any concerns? There's no questions. Councillor Bendall.
Mr. Mayor, I'm just wondering, in 18.7, they've got establishment of a wellness hub at Condobolin High School, which brings together services providers to provide targeted health and wellbeing activities and information once term. I'm just wondering if they could include the smaller high school, but not Tullabergee, I don't know.
That hasn't happened at our high school for the last 2 years.
I know that was a thing, but I just thought if by chance COVID stops that, they might include it.
Yeah.
If possible.
Just hang on. Councillor Rees, you might have a bit more information on that one.
Obviously the creation of a wellness hub, I think, probably isn't the correct terminology in that report. The people
from WPRD
combined with Marathon Health, family support, I don't want to leave anyone out, but a few of the other external providers, and they did pop up at lunchtimes just to chat to the kids. But in terms of a wellness hub, I don't think that was probably a true sort of reflection. So it was a pop-in at lunchtime. They called it Chew with a Crew and would just come and wander around and have a chat to the kids. But obviously due to COVID, that hasn't happened in the last couple of years.
All right. You happy about that, Councillor Bendall?
Yes, I thought it must have been like a day
type
activity. That was all. Thank you.
Any further questions on that report? All those in favour? Against? Yes. Now we go to page 67. Operating policy. So I'd like to move the recommendation, please.
So move.
Councillor Carter. Councillor Brady. Right, any questions on that? This is something new.
I just wanted, Mr. Mayor, if I could.
Would you like to say something?
In regard to that policy, I said that's council staff and contracts, et cetera, but what about the public with the use of drones? Is there any regulation put in that? And I wonder what people use the drones themselves.
Yes, sir.
Karen? Have another go.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Carter, and that's a good question. So drone operation is actually regulated by the Civil Aviation Safety Authority. So this policy here only applies to council staff and contractors who are operating the drone. It doesn't actually apply to the general public, but drone operations, which does apply to the general public, is regulated by CASA. So if you've got concerns about them, it would be best to, discuss it with CASA. Council can't, in any way regulate that.
And there is any size of a drone or not?
Has that answered your question, Councillor Carter?
Yeah, thanks for that.
Councillor,
I think what my concerns were, a couple of years ago down around Oberon, a lot of people casing farms and then using drones and that. I just can't help but feel that if council are going to be involved in sort of licence requirements, that maybe they should have a bit more of a look into the control of our public or something rather. I don't know, because what they were doing down around Oberon, somebody may have read the report, but they were actually casing farms, that they were actually flying around. And when they see no movement there, they were just going in nilly-willy and breaking in the premises and stealing stuff. So I just think the council could be more proactive with it. The general public, that's all.
I'll just ask the General Manager to comment, because I've got a comment as well for what you've just said, Dave.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I understand your point, Councillor Carter. Unfortunately, Council's got no statutory authority to police or control the use of drones. It all rests with the Civil Aviation Authority. This just comes back to how we control our staff and they understand the requirements for them to use a drone on Council's behalf, but can't impose this on the public.
Councillor Brady, you got a comment?
I'm just wondering, is there a size before it's got to be regulated?
Karen?
Yes, so CASA does have some size regulations, depending on whether it's more or less than 2 kg, and there may be some more over that. We're just concerned ourselves with that because our drone is less than 2 kg, so that's the sort of things we were looking at before the purchase was undertaken. So Yes, so definitely more or less than 2 kg does have some kind of impact on regulation and things like that. In terms of what exactly that is, specifically off the top of my head, I couldn't give that to you right now. But anything above that, again, may have some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm just getting at the general public want to use it, what's the size they can use?
Oh, that's up to CASA. But you'd have to look at the CASA regulations, Councillor.
Yeah, Councillor Blue.
Are your comment first, though? Don't you want to make a comment about his comment?
Oh, about Councillor Carter, the comment of what I was going to say was that we do have our police meetings and the sort of thing, and I have brought that sort of thing up in the past. You know, this policy is covering our staff and the sort of thing, but that sort of thing starts happening, well, that becomes a police matter anyway. And with Councillor Blue.
Sorry, I'm sorry if it's actually in the report and I've missed it, but I just need to ask the question. When we're actually flying the drone as a council and it goes over private property such as a farm, I know that you have to log the flight plan with CASA, but do you actually notify the landholder that stuff like that's happening? Because obviously if they do see something flying around and have been notified, that could cause some issue, some angst.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Blewett. And what else, Karen, can you answer that?
At the moment, there is no requirement under the policy to actually do that. So the policy is sort of is basically based on the legislation we need to apply. However, in the past, I know when we first got the drone, we were actually putting out media releases, letting people know that the drone was flying in this particular area. Generally, at the moment, the drone is only used for doing gravel pits. And things like that are way out of town. Yes, I suppose a farmer could see it. I could see someone on their property, on their property, in the area, to be on council property. But they would be able to make that inquiry. But, yeah, we don't actually nominate each of those people and contact them. No, we don't.
All right. Any other questions? I think it's good. Once we've got a policy in place, so we refer to it. Councillor Rees.
Can we possibly put an amendment in the policy so if it's outside the looking at, like, inspecting the gravel pits and whatnot, like, which is essentially obviously general council business, and the farmer, if the gravel pit's on their land, they've already got that agreement with council. If we're using it for geosurveying or something like that, where we are going over other farmers' properties, can we add an amendment in there that if it's outside of our normal operating read, the gravel and whatnot, that the landowners are notified if it's going to be in there for a significant period of time?
General Manager, let's ask that question.
Yeah, can I suggest something along the lines of that the drone's not to be flown over private property without the landowner's consent or notification?
Sure. Lovely. Thank you. That'd great be words. It's actually already is there.
Okay. I'm getting the impression it's already there. It's in there, so I think we've covered all bases by the sound of it. All those in favour?
Yep.
Right. Those against? That is carried. Now to page 97, which is 8.4, which is donations. And the first one we've got there is the... would someone like to...
The Prime Minister's recommendation as written.
I'll second it, mate.
Councillor Phillips.
All right, the first one, the
Corey Kids.
I'm happy to move the donation for that one.
What, the all of them? Or
no, just that one. Or 50 for Nate. I want to have a talk about the other one.
Well, it's moved. Councillor Blewett, second to Councillor Phillips at the Koori Kids.
On the Koori Kids one, can we confirm that actually all schools in our shire did receive the information? Because I'm aware of possibly one or two that may not have. So if we're donating, that maybe we can confirm it was sent out enough packs for all the students in all of our shire schools.
Righto. We'll just follow that up and make sure they've all got the notice and got to. You're right with that, Karen?
Yep.
Right, all those in favour?
Yep, those against.
That's carried. Four kids now. The Rotary Club of Condoblin. Rotary Club is requesting donation of $1,500 towards the 21-21 Christmas Carnival. And someone open for discussion. Who's going?
Can I ask? Does anyone else want to go? Or
Councillor Blewett, please. Yep.
I just want some clarification. It says they ran a Christmas carnival on the 12th of December. To my knowledge, that didn't happen. Can someone explain exactly what the carnival that was held and where it was held?
Well, can I just... Can I just say something on that?
Councillor Brady, can you fill us in with that one?
We worked with Landcare and in operating that carnival over at the SRA hall.
Yeah, sorry, I understood that to be a Landcare.
No, it wasn't.
Event, and it was markets.
Wasn't totally funded by Landcare. Rotary also helped.
You know, I read the report. It says Rotary helped, but to me,
I understand that you're a part of it because I've read the report, but I don't understand what was called a Christmas carnival because to my knowledge, it wasn't a Christmas carnival. Rotary was just a part of it. I'm just not understanding what terminology is. Was it a market Christmas carnival or you guys were just part of the markets?
Brady, can you
clarify
this, please? You can go now. I'll press my button.
We were going to have our Christmas carnival, but because of the restrictions we had, people from Landcare came to us and asked us to run the Christmas carnival in conjunction with them doing their Landcare program over at the SRA hall. So that's what we did. So we ran what we normally would run. We'd had the jumping castle. We had the our ham wheel, all that sort of stuff, and we were helping with the carnival. But it was just that, of course, they came to us asking us, could they assist with us? And since we weren't at that stage when we were going to do it, we could not. Didn't think it was safe to operate it in the park, so that was the reason we changed and went to the. Normally, as you know, we hold in the park every year, like they do with Lake Angelica. And the day before, I was at Lake Angelica helping the.
Press your button.
Oh, the day before, I was at Lake Angelica helping them with their Christmas carnival. It's just it's one of the, and also because of some administration problems we had up here. We could not have our normal raffle, even though we'd put in asking for the raffle. We didn't get notification to the 7th of December that we were able to do it, and that was just too late.
Yeah, Councillor Blue, do you want
to... can I get the director to elaborate on what the administrative errors or difficulties were, please?
All right, I'll ask John
Shaletta. Sorry, and I note that it was referred to in the letter.
I'll ask John to clarify. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the application was only lodged 2 days before the event started, was set to start. Our application forms and on our website clearly state that we want them 12 weeks in advance to go through the approval process that needs to be undertaken. That being said, we have reviewed our internal processes and always continue to improve our internal processes to try and speed up the application process.
Well, hopefully that solves the problem in the future.
Yeah, well, the person who put the application in, I know because of because of COVID, it was probably put in a bit late. The police gave us the okay to do the raffle on the 11th of November. And we thought we would have been able to have that raffle, but we didn't get the okay from the Shire to the 7th of December.
So can I, sorry?
I think by the sound of it, it'll be rectified next year. A little bit of luck, Councillor Blue.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this, but I'll do it through you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Brady, who's a Rotarian, can he just explain to me
exactly what the $1,500 is for then? Is it for the actual holding of the Christmas carnival plus the raffle? Or is it just for the
carnival?
Just for the carnival. It is, over many years, Rotary were given money to help run a Christmas carnival, and also to part of that money was given to the people used to do the carols. In the end, I think the carol people got their own money. We used to distribute the money to the carol people. But we were then given a certain amount of money from the Shire as the Rotary Club of Wangatjalika gets as well to run their carnival down there. So that was the only that's the only criteria that the $1,500 comes from. And as I said, we would have normally run our own Christmas carnival, but because when we were going to do it, the restrictions, we couldn't do it. When the Landcare people came to us and asked us to combine with them to run something, we did.
Well, can we, I think I'm looking for a mover to what...
I've just got another question.
Sorry. Councillor Lewis, you're going well.
Sorry, I apologise. Just here in the director's notes, it says that please note the policy does state that retrospective applications will not be considered and all applications should be received at least 28 days before the event. So how does this make, it doesn't sort of make the criteria. So I'm wondering, how does that affect our decision making? Like, it doesn't even fit the policy, this request.
Someone else come in. Last general manager might give us a...
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Council has the discretion to vary the policy. Staff, when applying policies, follow the guidance of council, but ultimately it's a decision for council whether they wish to support it or not. Of course, the danger is that we set a precedent and we have other people come in the future to say, well, we've held our event and you've approved it in the past. Why won't you do it for us? That's the risk.
Right, because the other thing is it is an annual event, and we hope to, in the future, we can do it in the right manner, and hopefully learn a lesson from that. So I'm still looking for someone to move how much, because at the moment...
Am I able to ask Councillor Brady another question? Sorry.
So, Councillor Brady, your raffle, how much
does that normally... how much do you guys normally raise through your raffle each year?
It's one of our major fundraisers of the year, and we can raise from $1,500 to well over $3,000 a year. And since in the last 2 years, we haven't had Jumping Castle, which is one of our other major fundraisers, and we travel all over the Shire doing those. We haven't, because of the restrictions, been able to do that. So our income has been cut quite considerably, and because last year in 2020 I couldn't hold the carnival either again because of COVID, so there's been 2 years virtually we haven't had any income coming from the carnival and from the wrap.
Councillor Brady. Councillor Blewett, I think we're getting to a stage where
pose something if that's all right.
Please do.
Look, I understand that I've asked a lot of questions, Councillor Brady, and I'm not actually against it. I understand that Rotarians do a wonderful job and they're all volunteers. I'd like to say that instead of $1,500, could we make it $1,000? Yeah, being that it's retrospective and they do normally get to hold their raffle, which they didn't get to hold, and they did hold their Christmas carnival in a sense. That's what I'd like to propose. I don't know whether anyone's going to support me.
There you go. We're about to find out when I asked for a seconder down there, because that's the recommendation I was sort of looking for. So,
I'd support that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carter. It's been supported. So, anyone like to speak against or for?
Councillor Rees? I have a question. Councillor Brady made reference to Lake Angelico Rotary getting funding also. How much did they get to run their Christmas carnival?
$100. I'll ask Karen if she knows that off the bat.
I believe it was $1,000, Councillor, but I'm just going to quickly check in with donations that are actually attached to your event. And it is a donation, yes, of $1,000, and it was for the Christmas Carnival fireworks.
And held and ran.
Yes.
And held.
Can I ask another? Sorry. I had to ask another question, or I can't, because we've already moved and seconded.
No, they've moved and seconded that we do a donation of $1,000 to...
So can we get clarification only, because a couple of other committees that I've been on, we've run things in conjunction with Landcare and
Sarah White, or now White, who's done that, and she has reimbursed our club for doing things on that day and hiring our things. That's come from the Landcare funding. Can we seek clarification if Landcare provided Rotary with funding for the use of the jumping castles and the hand wheels, or purchasing the ham for the hand wheels and stuff, which would then potentially, that means Rotary were not out of pocket for that, because that was paid for by Landcare. Because I think it actually was quite good being a combined event, because there's so many things on in December. It was quite good to have something big to go to. But I'm hesitant to do a retrospective approval for a dollar more than at least what Lake got. But I would like to know what Rotary received from Landcare for that.
So on the donations funding application form, they've noted towards this day that Condobolin Landcare contributed $500. Now, I don't know whether that was directly to Rotary or whether that was their sort of what they believe they put into the day, but that's the best I can tell you from the information
that's
right. $2,000. As long as the movement second happened there, because if there needs to be an amendment, we need to do it now. But if there's not, you want me to put the vote?
I think
Paul. Oh, Paul, sorry, but
you're right.
Gun left.
Johnny, thank you. But just to try and answer Melissa's questions, good question, Melissa. In 20, the Rotary at Home did apply for $1,000 because Corona wasn't held, and to my knowledge, they never received it and didn't want it. But they did request it again in 21 and did receive it, and the carnival did go ahead.
Yep.
Thanks, Mayor.
Right.
I'm still happy with my thing.
Right, we're happy with that, so we might put it to happy. Karen, right. All those in favour of the $1,000 to the Rotary for the Christmas carnival? Right, those against.
Terry. Moving on to the
investments as at the 31st of November 2021. Someone like to move the recommendation, please? Yes. Councillor Bendall, seconded. Councillor Phillips.
What page did you go to?
31. Second Councillor Phillips. So I don't know what Councillor Rees, I was just going to say there, the senior councillors and that sort of thing with these figures and that sort of thing all of a sudden hit you in the face. It can be a little bit daunting. Whether maybe Karen talking to the new councillors or need to understand a bit more if you're not ask some questions, but I'll get Councillor Reed.
I've just got a request. Can we address the feedback that's happening with these speakers? Because intermittent squeal is really not pleasant.
Coming through these speakers.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
I'll lift my voice in. That was your question, wasn't it?
That was my question, just because the squealing was becoming painful.
Might be my hearing aids. What would you say? All right. Any questions there?
No.
Right. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried. Right. Now, page 143. 8.6, customer requests on the 31st of December 2021. Would someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Phillips, second Councillor Rees. Right, any questions on the customer requests there? You've got all the graphs and et cetera, et cetera. Councillor Rees, you got a question?
I just had a question, and I suppose I found it a bit concerning that particularly within one of the departments, there was only four workflow requests and three are currently sitting as overdue and unclosed. What might be, is that because we haven't found a resolution for the ratepayer, or does that mean we haven't got back to them? I just think four requests that come in over a 1 month period to have three outstanding is a little bit odd.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
The General Manager is going to answer the question.
What it highlights is the difficulties we have with the current customer action request system that we've got, because it only records the date that it's actually closed out and cannot be altered to reflect the date of when we actually responded to the customer. So a staff member can get the request, deal with the issue, and consider in their mind that the action request is closed out, but the data that it actually records is when they go back in and log it off the system, which may be a week or 2 weeks later. So it's
so that would be the same for the second department, they're the environment one, where 50% are outstanding. That means they haven't been closed off.
We are really hamstrung by the ability of the Civica Authority customer request system that we're using, but the cost of going to an alternate aftermarket type system is prohibitive for us at the moment. So we're reporting information, but it doesn't reflect well on the job that the staff are doing with the customer requests.
No, that's fine. All good. Thank you.
Right. Have any more questions on the customer requests, graphs, etc.? Those in favour?
Yeah.
Those against? That is carried. Right, now I think that's the end of your report. Thanks. Is it? No, one more.
8.7.
148, 8.7, investments of the 31st of December 2021. Someone like to move the recommendation, please? Councillor Brady, seconder.
Okay.
Councillor Mortimer. All right, any questions on the investments? Opportunity there. I know Karen does.
Best you can, Karen. Better than naught.
All right. Karen's going to give us a bit of an update. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, through Mr. Mayor. Just for more for the benefit of the new councillors, while it does actually suggest that the 52 when you actually look at $52 million in our investment account, that actually sounds like a substantial sum of money, and indeed that it is. But quite a lot of that money is actually tied up in money that we've received in advance for grants or other restricted income like water or sewer reserve fund income. So that's something you won't have come across as yet. So, yes, our actual unrestricted funds, as available funds out of that $52 million, is actually quite small. So just to keep that in mind, and we'll talk more about that when the QBR2 report, a quarterly budget report review number 2, comes to the February council meeting. But I'm also happy to speak to any councillor, but in particular the new councillors, if you need a little bit more information to understand that. So yes, don't think that
there's a flash
to play with, because it's very limited.
Playing around, waiting for that one to you.
We didn't have that in bad dreams over all that. Right, any other further questions on the investments? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Again, carried. Right, now, thanks, Karen, for that report. Now, page 160, 9, Environment, Tourism and Economic Development. 9.1 is Draft Central West Arana Plan for 2041. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please? Is that Councillor Rees, was it?
Mm.
And seconder was?
I will.
Councillor Bendall. All right. Any questions there? You want to give us a bit of a run there, John?
Just a bit of an overview.
Yeah, overview.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So the Central Western Arana Regional Plan is basically the overarching document that the state government produces to guide land use planning and strategic planning within local government areas across the Central Western Arana region. So our local environmental plan and strategies and documents that we produce need to align with that document. It's very important that any priorities and ones that we support as a council. So also grant funding and the like also relies heavily on an alignment with that plan. So it's important that we have a look at that. The document is on exhibition until the 18th of February 2022. There is 3 information sessions that the community can go to, and they're available on the Department of Planning's website, and I can send links to any of the councillors that would like to attend those sessions. We're currently reviewing it internally. We're going to an information session on the 1st of February and looking to, obviously, the 18th of February doesn't allow us to a lot of time to review the document. We would like to put a submission into the plan, but we're just looking at the or waiting for the information session to see if any of the questions that we have are addressed as part of that session.
All right. Any questions there on that, Councillor Phillips?
Just a quick one.
Johnny, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Johnny, just to you, looking at this brown and blue map here, we're evidently following the blue map. The west. Is that relevant to us way out here when you're including Oberon, Lithgow, Bathurst? Do you think that land and everything reflects down there that, as it does out here? We've got very little mining. And different, like, basically, out here in the central west, we rely on agriculture. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
The way that the plan works is that it does talk about the central western Arana region, but it does have individual council priorities. So the priorities that are identified for the Lachlan Shire do look at the agricultural base that underpins our economy, and it does sort of look at those, factors that weigh into our economic future and look at the points that... It's very difficult to put the Lachlan Shire into a specific region. Obviously, the Arana region, we wouldn't really relate to that either, and nor do we relate to the Riverina. So it's very difficult to put the outback. So that's very difficult to put Lachlan in that region, but I think we relate closely to parks and pools in terms of our economics in particular. So I think they've based it around that.
Paul, you're good.
Johnny, evidently it was a very difficult question to answer. I find it very difficult correspondence where we are, and whatever you can follow up with and improve that, I would appreciate that, because I still don't think that reflects on what we do out here. Thank you, John.
Can I just contribute a little bit to it? As you can see by this map, Arana and it's the JOs, it's a joint organisation. So blue is basically our joint organisation. It goes right through, because Lithgow is not actually in our joint organisation at the moment, but I've actually been talking to the mayor there, and looks like she might think they're going to come back. You know, and so, you know, we're supporting, you know, what is happening right across that region. And the brown is also the Arana. They're all a member of that Arana joint organisation. And so with the joint organisation with tourism, we're going right across, because they've been trying to divide that too. And we'd like to be able to do it, because we contribute, and we can cover from Lithgow right through to Lachlan Lake, and the same with whether it's the economic development as well, you know, right across the region. And so if we've got something specific that we need to do, we can use the joint organisation as a lobbying force, you know, to the state government. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's shaped up the way it is. That's any help to you.
Mr. Mayor, I have no problem with what the work and effort Johnny's put in. And the question I asked was for my own benefit and hopefully for some of the others here. I have absolutely 100% faith in John. I realise what he's working for and whom he's working for. And that's simply why I asked the question.
Councillor Blewett.
Sorry, the director, through you, Mr. Mayor, to the director. You mentioned info sessions. Are they online or they're online? So to the general public, have we advertised that they're... that they can get on there and get some more information and give feedback, since it's on public exhibition?
And if it hasn't, can we sort of maybe get a press release out mentioning where they can go and maybe log on, because it might be helpful to them?
Councillor John, you want to answer that?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we can advertise those sessions. I think unfortunately the engagement by the state government would... people within our shire might not see those, so yeah, I'm more than happy to share those on our social media.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Councillor Carter, you got
a question? Can I just ask a question? Back in the last term of council, it came up about Explorer Country, tourism as a whole, but everyone, New and High Promotion Committee. Do they sit at the table with joint organisation, the New and High Promotion Committee? Because it doesn't matter what we do, we are quite different to Arana and Riverina and such, and we're certainly a lot different than what they are over around Orange and May along the Lithgow. We need inroads. That's what we need. And, I mean, I always seen Explorer Country Tourism when I was on that board many years ago, as well as Daniel Highway, as an ideal opportunity to bring people off the highways into here. And, I mean, the governments have got in, and when I was on the RDA, we actually signed off on that Kilsinya-Mundry link, but all that's done is open up a pathway to get from Western, from South Australia, beg your pardon, on the Newell Highway up around, where's it come out, up near between Dubbo and York Gander. It's only just gave people more access, and mainly particularly trucks. It hasn't really done it until it's tourism, if any, it's probably worked against us. But getting back to the question, are we involving ourselves with the Newell Highway? Because I still believe that that is what we need to be focused on, something that actually brings people in. We need the inroads.
Vanessa, John?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we do attend the Newell Highway Committee sessions, but as to their involvement with this plan, I'm not sure whether they've been directly involved. There is
a working group that has been providing advice from Central Western Arana region to the state government. I don't believe that, I'm not sure actually as to whether they've got the seat at that table, but yeah, we definitely attend the session and are involved in the email group as well.
So,
just to the Mayor again, is there opportunity then for the councillor on the tourism committees to become involved, perhaps at another meeting, if we can get involved with the new highway? Is there opportunity on the track? I know it's probably not what I say, but
no, I think we need to investigate it a bit more, see where it's at, because there has been quite a few big changes in there when it comes to how they're running tourism and the destination and how they're funding it and that sort of thing. And I think there's a bit more development coming out of this. And I think with your question there, we'll look into it a bit further, because as you say, like it was a committee self-committing in its own right. We'll see how we go there. All righty.
Can I just ask a question?
Mr. Brady, you got a question?
Yeah. In summer, they're saying that they're in, by 2041, they expect approximately 19,000 more dwellings. That is over all these regions, I take it. If you drive through Orange and you go out on the Northern Distributor, you can just see the amount of dwellings that have gone up in the last 6 months. Well, so where do they get this? Where do they get this crystal ball figure from?
Would you like to answer that, John?
I'll do my best. They use population figures, previous population figures, and try and estimate what those figures might be into the future. Very difficult at the moment, given COVID and the impacts that that's having on population growth and movements within not only New South Wales, but migration. I don't know why this keeps going off. Apologies. Migration as well. How that's all playing a part is very difficult, and that's a point that we have raised with the Department of Planning, that it's very difficult to estimate these numbers given the situation at the moment and how things are changing very rapidly.
In front of our eyes. No question.
Yeah, and I just find it also, you know, they put in these housing developments and yet they haven't put extra roads in to accommodate the housing.
Well, these are questions we need to take back to them. All right, I think we've right. With someone with all those in favour, those against, that's carried. Right now to page 165, which is 9.2, the painting of the mural on the old water tower at Lake Pacifico. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please? Thank you, Councillor Phillips. I thought you might.
Judith wants to second it.
Bless you. Second, Judith Bartholomew. Any questions on the recommendation? Is there any?
Would you reason?
Councillor Blewett. A reason, man. Glad I did that.
I just have a question. I think it's fabulous. It's actually the design I voted for, so that's exciting. But I think I provided some feedback, and it's a fairly consistent feedback throughout about the incorporation of some Indigenous artwork or personnel or something in there. I can see some silhouettes of some people around the top of option four. Has that been a discussion with the artists that can be incorporated with maybe a local Indigenous artist? Or I just think we're missing an opportunity if that's not represented as well on there.
Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Rees. John, you want to answer that? I think it might be better than Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That's certainly something that we can take back to the artist. I did note that they put out a public exhibition or community feedback on themes for the mural options before they developed the four options. I'm not sure whether that was something that came about in the themes, but I have noted that as well in the community feedback. That's certainly something that we can pass on to Lakes Alive to pass on to the artists.
Because I know the one at Canamble, which is the John Murray one, it's got a beautiful night, like with the glass going up into the night sky, with the Indigenous artwork going up into the sky, which looks phenomenal on it. There, I think it's a water tower. I don't know if it's a silo or water tower. No idea. But I think there is obviously an option there, particularly in that like sunset scene potentially. Not an artist, but I think we need to make sure that's included before. Do we sign off on the design, or do Lakes Alive sign off on the final one? How will that work?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. This is Council's final sign off.
So we can't see a 360 degree version of it? Because you can only see like the front, I suppose, 180 of the water tower. It's getting painted all the way around, isn't it? But potentially is the back side of number 4 the same as the front side?
It would be a continuation, I would see, of that.
Yeah. I think your question about the Aboriginal side of the mural too, we've brought this up before.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's definitely in there. We're not signing off on something now that it comes back and says, well, you signed off on the design when I can't see the other side, because it might be full of Indigenous artwork on the other side of it.
We'll include that in the question, in the recommendation. How about that? Move and second, are happy with that. Judith Farfallon.
No, I'm happy with anything as long as all the insurance and everything's covered.
Yeah. Judith's got a question.
Okay. When we had a board meeting at the Land Council, the elders that are on the board thought the men that are up at the top, they're actually fishing for you. They've got a rod in that. They thought that that was Aboriginal men's
wet.
But when you pointed out that they're fishing, they've got a fishing rod.
Yeah.
They've just updated.
Gun, they're going to be shooting a Goliath.
All right, but I think we'll leave the question there and we'll see.
Can I just ask a question, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Carter.
No, but I don't. I may be in the Land Council. The population of Currys over in Lake of Jellygo, I just wonder what percentage of votes are actually from the Curry population. I mean, many of them don't vote full stop, period. Would it be Land Council, state, federal, or other election? It would be interesting to know, because I think that if they were given the choice, there certainly would be a fair bit of Aboriginal arts hard work around it, as Councillor Rees has
said. I think Judith might have an answer for you.
Okay. We had three workshops. Di came out to Murrin Bridge in the Women's Building, and we went for a walkabout with and showed the design to the community members that don't leave their house. So, and then we had a day in at the office so people could come in and voice their concerns or pick vote.
That's quite a good voting uptake.
Yeah, I think they covered it.
And it was both online and hard copy, I think I read there. So I think you guys, it looks phenomenal. I can't wait to see it all done. And yeah. I think the background work's definitely gone into it, which is great.
That's all good. Now, I think we've covered all the questions, right? All those in favour?
Yep.
That's against? That's carried. Now we're going to page 193, Lake Angelica Birds. 9.3, Lake of Jellico Birds, domain names. I think this has come up. Someone like to move recommend it.
I'll second that.
Councillor Bendall, Councillor Brady. All right, any questions on that? Or we need any update? I think it's pretty straightforward.
Keep it.
Yep.
Good idea that we keep it.
Yep. All right. All those in favour?
Done.
Those against? It's carried. All right.
I have a question.
Please do.
For the whole of my last term in council, we spoke about revamping the tourism and our website, a tourism, dedicated tourism website. That obviously hasn't happened yet. I believe that's on the ground to happen. Why does LakeAngelicoBirds.com need a separate tourism website? Why can't we package all of this into the Lachlan Shire website with bounce out pages to the Lake Angelico Birds and things like that? I just think if we start keeping domain names, and for everything else, we kind of lose the impact of a one-stop shop for a Lachlanshire tourism.
Oh, I think you're right up your alley.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think, are you saying that should we keep hold of this domain, or are you saying link it back to our tourism?
Well, from what I read with this, the recommendation is that we give them access through a C, whatever it is.
C panel service.
I'm just not sure we're not shooting ourselves in the foot by having all these different websites for tourism in Lachlanshire when we want to build a whole Lachlanshire brand. And I'm all for Lake Angelico Birds. It's a fabulous bird wildlife watching area over there. But I'm just not sure we need a Lake Angelico Birds page that we obviously still own, but give management to the bird community, not the bird community, the people that do the bird watching and whatnot, when we should have like a comprehensive tourism website for our shire, not all little different websites we send people to.
Councillor General Manager of the Council, answer this one, please.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We're not recommending we give them access through a C panel. We're recommending that they be transferred the domain name and it becomes theirs to use. We don't own the domain name. We have it registered in our name at the moment. And the advice back from the solicitor, when we looked to have an agreement written so that we could transfer it and ensure it came back to us in the event that that the business changed hands or they stopped using it, was not possible. We couldn't put that sort of encumbrance on the transfer. And the solicitor's advice was that unless we were using the domain name, we risk the fact that the people who are most likely to have a right to its use could apply to the registrar and ask for it to be transferred irrespectively.
To them.
Because we're not using it.
So that answers your question, Councillor Reid?
We don't own the domain name.
No, I get that. So I've just reread the sentence, so sorry I messed up the C-panel service thing.
Councillor Reid, I think... John can answer your question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, as well. So this, I guess this person or this company is a bird watching business. So they're, I guess, a provider within our local government area. What our tourism website will do is focus on council's tourism as a whole, and we'll also make reference to the various providers. So this is one provider. There might be many others that operate businesses within our shire. We can obviously direct business to those.
Okay.
When, as part of our tourism website, but the idea would be to build as many businesses within our shire that provide services to the community, and then we, as a local government, promote those within our shire through the tourism website.
Give leads to it. Yep. All right. But I think we've covered. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, John. Johnny, you all but covered it. Then are we sort of in a semi dispute with a person or a group of people?
As in, the request has come from a business.
Okay, yes.
Come from a business. Delegate birds.
Right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Don.
That was a question which I think has been decided answered. Righto, moving along to now page 195, which is 9.4 development data, November, December 2021. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please?
Before you move on, Mr. Mayor, should we vote on that last thing?
Yeah, we did. There was the next was a question.
Yeah, I asked the question after we voted. That was my fault.
But that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, that's true. I do agree wholeheartedly, but we've actually...
I apologise, but I thought it was
just time again
to note.
Second the recommendation there, Mr. Mayor, for this next one.
A lot of things we shouldn't do here, Dennis.
No, we do.
All right. Recommendation of development. Someone like to move that, please?
I've moved it.
Phillips and Dave Carter seconded. That would happen. Yep. All right, any questions on the development applications it's listed there?
Just one.
Councillor Phillips.
$20,000 for a container.
Mm.
I mean, not yes or no, that's all I'm interested in.
Big good container.
Yeah, storage shed. Oh, hang on, that's an outbuilding. Isn't there a container there somewhere?
Container 9.
Container somewhere.
20,000.
Sounds like they could be building a shipping container house.
Yeah, one more. I don't know.
How are you going, John?
I would have to take that question on notice to refer to what is actually involved in that application. Reading that description, it looks as though they're trying to use a shipping container as an outbuilding. I don't know
question. Thank you, Mayor. Thank
all right, you, thanks. Any other questions on the development?
Just Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Carter.
Sorry. On page 197, I'm just curious about that zero value for that one out at Federation Street. It'd be use of land prevent. What prevents that when they would apply? What do that actually?
New Z Party.
Do they have to pay for the development application, do they, not they?
John?
Yeah, there are development application fees. Despite the fact that there's zero value, there's always a fee for development application.
So was it still up around, I think it was $900, is that right, something like that? I'm just curious.
I'd have to refer to the application to see what fees were paid.
All righty.
There'd be notification fees as well as the development assessment fee.
I just wondered why they wouldn't ask Site Road, because, you know, that sort of get rates and that sort of just waived, and that I just wonder why whatever the group was, they didn't ask the same thing to save the cost of development application. So they're not actually using the land for nothing at all, it's costing for the development application, that's all.
It's for the event.
Yeah, but I mean, they should get it for nothing.
They were a private business.
Yeah.
It's a pub.
It's a hotel.
I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, what the fee probably should have been waived as far as the DA went, I would have thought.
I didn't ask, it wasn't for charity either. You've got to remember, private business. Right. Any more questions on the building applications? If not, all those in favour? Those against, that's carried. Right, now we go to page 200, 9.5, projects monthly update for December, January. Someone like to move a recommendation, please?
I'll move it. Mm-hmm.
Councillor Phillips. Seconder is Councillor Bendall. Any questions on the updates of the amenities, et cetera, et cetera? The work depot is happy you've all been around a bit more action around there. So frames up. Any questions?
Community centre, what's happened down there?
Down the work
depot? Down the historical society.
I might get back to John for that one. John O?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we're looking for suitable quotes to undertake the work within the budget. At this stage, we can't get quotes to undertake that work that meet our budget. So we're looking at alternatives to try and get some quotes that meet our budget.
And if you don't get quotes, do they lose the grant?
So we'll have to prepare. We're looking to prepare a report to the February meeting, providing some options how we might go about undertaking that project if we can't get suitable quotes within that budget.
Yeah, that's all there in the report anyway, Dennis.
Yeah.
Exactly what John just said. All righty. No other comments. All those in favour?
No.
Against, that is carried. Now to page 205, 9.6, a request to suspend alcohol-free zone on March the 5th and 6th to 20th as a part of the Federation of Street Albert. There's a follow on this one. Someone like to move the recommendation, please? Councillor Bartholomew, and second up is Councillor Mortimer. They've taken over.
Yep, look out now.
Look out, they're on a roll. Right, this is the request from the Albert Hotel again for, I think it's the weekend of the Tottenham Picnic Races, actually.
Yep.
So any questions on that?
Why did we make an alcohol freezer?
It's the same thing we approved for New Year's Eve for them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We know what's going on now. We didn't before.
Alcohol free zone, now they're active.
Right. There's no problems with that. Anyone got any questions? I think. Yeah. Right. All those in favour?
Right.
Those against, that is carried. All right. Thanks, John, for your reports. Now, page 210, infrastructure services. And the first one is Utilities monthly update for November, December. Would someone like to move the recommendation, please? Councillor Carter. Second, Councillor Bendall. Right, any questions on the infrastructure there? It's all before you.
Just a quick one, Mr. Mayor. I just had a stern constituent the other day came up and asked me about the water out at Fifield that said it's undrinkable. Is that the case? I just said to take it up to the council to go and I commit the early concern because the location lives in Condover, not out to Highfield or anywhere, but that's when you said the water's no good to drink.
I'll just hand this one straight over to Adrian. We can answer that one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor Carter, the water at Flyfield is not suitable for drinking.
It's easy to fix. He should have come up here, shouldn't he?
Yeah. There's one thing we have done. We did clean the tank out about 12 months ago. Make sure.
It's always been non-potable, hasn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's why we gave.
Yeah.
Quite a few years ago, we gave them rainwater tanks.
Right.
Yeah. Down the tank. Question there. Right, any more
questions? Can I ask a question, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor.
It's to do with the pipeline. Since we've had all this flooding and so forth, they said when they got the quote they'd have it done in a month. They've gone quite a few months since that's happened. How many more months have we got to go before it's going to be done?
I think Adrian might better answer that one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Carter. The contractor has been
overcoming a fair few obstacles with flood
waters inundating the site and also just inclement weather with the wettest November we've had ever in Condoblin. So they have applied for numerous extensions of time to complete the works. We've granted all but the last of them and we're just in negotiations now with the contractor to confirm when they'll be back on site. It's looking like the 15th of February, but that's to be confirmed. And then they intend to lay approximately a kilometre of pipe per day after that. So they do intend to be finished within a month of getting back on site. So,
all right. Answer the question.
Mayor, just want to make a comment about the time for completion as per the contract is much later than that.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good point. The deed that is funding this project is until the end of June to complete the project, but it just so happens that the contractor can complete the work much sooner than that. But we are, we're working with them, and we have no real concerns that they won't complete the works within the deed timeframes. So
unless we get a flood,
I'm pretty confident we'll be able to get a good window within the next 6 months to be able to build the pipe. Regardless,
there's a forecast
it's
for you.
It's not going to flood the whole time, surely.
Not doing a bad job, anyway. Not doing a bad job. All right, any further questions on
that? The only other thing on that, so that means the rest of the infrastructure will be put back as well. Not?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, the contract's being run in four separate components and they're not necessarily linked to each other. They can be completed independently. There are other hold-ups on the other items, but they are not held up by this.
Well, what about our completion day? Does that still affect them?
There are other items
that may not be completed by that June 30 date. This has been flagged with the grant body. And it has been flagged with PWA, who are project managing it for us. Whilst there is yet to be a confirmed extension of the grant, we're working with PWA to deliver as much as we can within that funding timeframe. And we're certainly making some progress on everything that we can.
I'll just get the general manager just give a comment too.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. And Adrian, jump in and correct me if I say something that isn't quite right here. The funding for this project is quite complex. It comes from a number of different streams with different dates for expenditure of those funds. And the component that is most time critical is the pipeline, and that's the 30th of June date mentioned. The other components of the work for upgrading of the existing water treatment plant, the underboring of the of the river, and the completion of the bores and furnishing of the bore holes have different times for expenditure of those funds and completion. And while we would like to ideally see it, the work flow in a smooth manner, we've had to stage it differently to meet the funding requirements.
Councillor Brady, you've got another
question. Just a follow-up. Once this is completed, we might never use it for quite a long while. What is the cost of keeping and upgrading that? Why it's not been used?
an open-ended question. You want to go with that one, Adrian?
Can I respond with a question? What's the cost of not having border security for Condobolin? I mean,
well, we have never run out before, Adrian, so this is what I'm getting at. You know, what's the cost of then operating the one at Lake Angelica? Do pumps break down? Do all this sort of stuff happens? And how often is that water used for the cost of building it in the first place?
I'm not able to provide an exact dollar figure. This system will be operated very differently to the one at Lake Angelica. This will be an emergency drought supply, or in the event of an environmental issue on the Goobain Creek, which makes that water unusable. So this is water security for Condobolin, not a primary water supply.
And they've got to be used separately anyway, haven't they? That's the other issue. Mm. All right. The security is in Paul, Councillor Phillips. I've never missed you.
I'll screw your neck.
Mirror on it.
Mr Mayor, thank you. I'm probably out of order here, but to be honest with you, I fell asleep last night when I was up to 240.
Jeez, I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm being truthful. But it's just aid. I see it, mate. This is November, December. I don't see anything for Foster Street, Lake Angelica.
Oh.
Is that a future report?
It's coming up, mate.
I said I fell asleep at 215. Okay, thanks, mate.
You missed the good bit.
Indeed, I should have.
You did say you might have been out of order.
There's even some free discussion in here.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Adrian.
Right, let's update. I think we've questions have been answered, asked and answered, that sort of thing. All those in favour?
All right.
Yeah. Yes, that's carried. Move along to page 214, 10.2, monthly report update for roadworks update for November, December. Someone like to move the recommendation, please. Councillor Blewett.
Rees,
I should say.
And
memory now.
Oh, just put signs up behind you.
Put your signs
right here.
Behind your chairs.
I was looking at Paul Phillips. I didn't want to...
Uh-huh. The alert.
I'm worried. But any questions? We'll go with Councillor Blewett first. Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to the director. As currently Kaikatoo Road is now underwater for about 4 or 5 times last year, and it's now underwater again, what's the probability of actually getting some funding to like build it up a bit so it might not go under? Because once that road goes under, Bimbella Road becomes the main road. It is atrocious.
It's horrid.
Remembering that we had wet weather and a big harvest and lots of trucks, it is atrocious. So what's the likelihood of either getting some funding? It'd be better to get funding, like more likely, I should say, to get funding for Kaikatoo Road because it's underwater than it is going to be to get funding to do up Bimbella Road, I'm assuming. That's my question, because Bimbella Road is, and quite frankly, it was dangerous during harvest. I had to travel that road with trucks and cars coming behind trucks. It was dangerous.
School buses went that way.
School buses had to go that way because the other road was cut. So I'm sorry, it's a complicated question. But I really sort of need an answer because every time that Kaikatoo Road goes under, Bimbella Road is the main road.
All right. Thanks for your question, Councillor Blewett. I'll get Adrian to, I think it might be responded pretty quickly.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. We can certainly look
actively for funding opportunities to upgrade that.
I can't see any on the immediate horizon in the next few months, but certainly we can consider that in any future grant applications.
All right. Do you want it? And Councillor Rees, did you mention something about a pothole? And
I did want to. Sorry, yes. Yes, on out at the corner at Merriwee, Smart's Corner, I think we call it, don't we? It's legitimately a drop-off right on the edge of the corner of, I would almost say, nearly 40 centimetres and one significant hole. It looks to be where the water has pooled. And the only reason I say that is I came around it the other morning in a truck cut the corner, so it pushed me off the side of the road and my car went in there and it did not make very nice noises. I then complained to my significant other and he said, well, try it in a tractor. And since I've mentioned it, I've had probably 10 other people say, you know, it's getting worse and worse by the day. So I don't know if we can... I suggested that I might just take out a couple of bags of Rapid Set
figured that's probably not the right idea. I'm not sure what you can do, but it's significantly deep. I'm in a four-wheel drive, and my car did not take kindly to it.
I think you made your point. You got out of that, Adrian?
Yes, we can add that to the list.
No problem. Yeah, I just want to remind Councillor Phillips, do you want to bring that question up about Foster Street?
Where is it?
It's in there.
I'm thinking to
before you go to sleep, it's here.
Yeah, thank you. And I no need to ask any further. So if you can tell me your due date and start in February, that'd be fantastic.
You want to answer that?
So the update I can provide, Mr. Mayor, is that the stormwater components have been ordered. They are arriving. But the tender proper has not been called yet. We are looking to do that imminently. And the program at the moment has it coming to the March Council meeting for consideration after the close date in very late February or early March. So whilst I have reported to Council that I intended to bring it to the February Council meeting, given COVID, given flooding, given Christmas holidays, just chose to hold back on releasing the tender by a couple of weeks, hoping that we would get a more competitive tender price.
Mr. Mayor, if I can just make one other comment, I'd like to speak further in confidential with some information that I can give Council about the project.
I'd like to follow on from that, if I may, Mr. Mayor, to Adrian. March sounds like a long way away to me when it's supposed to start September. I certainly would like to walk up Foster Street or drive up Foster Street and not be in a wheelchair. But hopefully we can get it off the mark. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks.
No problem. Anyway, I think we'll be keeping
Adrian
up.
Adrian takes that in.
It will. Right, Councillor Blewett.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, again to the Director, and I apologise. While we're actively seeking funding for Kaikoura Road for the flooding, whereabouts has been Bella Road on the maintenance works program?
Because it really does need looking at.
Here somewhere.
So at the moment, there are some roads that we haven't even managed to get to because they're still underwater. We have been responding to the urgent flood damage and washouts as resources have been available. We have had notification from the state government that the storms a few weeks back, or the damage sustained during those storms, will be included in a natural disaster claim. So we continue to assess the damage from those storms and from the flooding in November, December. But we are yet to get final approval on what claims will be approved for the proper fix. So whilst we can put band-aids on and emergency fixes, the proper fixes are a little bit longer. So I can't give you an exact date on that, but we can do some emergency repairs when the resources become available.
Probably.
Not the answer you're after, Councillor, but that's the best I can offer at this stage.
Thank you. Look, I understand that our roads program is significant. Just if you're out that way, maybe take a drive down there just to see what people are talking about, because
I actually drive a four-wheel drive and I sit there and it just goes like that.
So, like, you just...
Thank you very much. Hopefully it can get onto the works program sooner than later.
All right. Thank you. I'll just have one question, Adrian. Is there any update on the Albert Danley Road?
Grant application
or to what? Because I notice it is still deteriorating fairly quickly, especially down that diff line. Some fairly good holes there. Every time we get a bit of rain and that sort of thing, well, they're just getting bigger, as you most probably know. I don't know whether you've had a look lately.
We continue to
be in a holding pattern for that road, Mr. Mayor. We haven't heard back yet on our funding application for proper fix on that road, so.
Dennis, you're holding your finger there.
Oh, yeah, just in here you've got Busby Street, Harding Avenue, reconstruction, and it does need reconstruction on that corner there. But also William Street and Busby Street, where the trucks turn coming over the bridge, how that has all been cut up again. And is there any way that we can, where these trucks, where the trucks are turning, it's getting all chopped up, whether it's on that road or on the Quakatoo Road, where they're going into the silos, or where they're turning to go on to what I used to call the Melrose Road, but they've changed its name. All those turns, is there any way that we can construct them so they don't break down as quick as they seem to be breaking down, even after we do resurface them?
Yeah, Adrian, answer that one. I think he'd love to answer that one.
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. The William Street and Lachlan Street
are stage two of that greater project, and Harding Avenue and Busby's stage one. But specifically addressing your intersection question, it's all about the type of service that we put on it, and we can and are planning to move to a more heavy duty.
Rigid pavement?
Either concrete or
AC.
Rather than the spray seal, which doesn't hold up to the turning forces from the trucks and the heavy vehicles. So definitely planning to move towards a...
Yeah, because it seems to be breaking down everywhere where the trucks have been turning with the, because, you know, you've got V-doubles,
so many old
trains and all this coming and carting stuff, and it just seems to be, the roads are just not made for it.
That's right.
Also... But it's also associated with all of the wet weather we've had.
Yeah, I know. We've had that too. But, I mean, just everywhere you go, on every corner, it's breaking up.
All right. Taking notice and we've written that one down. That's right. All right. Any further questions on the maintenance of roads? If not, all those in favour, those against, that is carried. Right down to page 231, 10.3, Urban Works Monthly. Update for November, December. Would someone like to move that report, please? Councillor Mortimer. Second that, Councillor Phillips. Look carefully, Dave. All those, any questions on the urban report? If not, no. All those in favour?
No.
Those against, that is carried. Right now on to 10.4, Regional Road Transfer and Road Classification Review. Would someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Bendall, seconder, Judith Bumber, Councillor Bartholomew. All right, any questions on the review? I think Councillor Lewitt did ask one on that one, didn't she?
Oh, I did. I can ask it.
Quakatoo Road.
You can answer it, but I can ask it, yep. Sorry, just on the Quakatoo Road, it's got 45.24. Is that the entirety of Quakatoo Road?
I did distribute a
new laminated copy of
maps for Councillor's
benefit as well.
Yes, Quakatoo Road is from
that way through to the...
Oh, right. So anyone else got questions?
Sorry, just a...
Yes, a look.
Sorry. Just the follow on. So, if Quakatoo Road does become reclassified and the whole entirety of it, we then don't have any say about when it gets maintained or anything, do we? It becomes the responsibility of the state, doesn't it? Is that right, if it gets reclassified?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're unable to provide any clear guidance on that one yet because this regional road classification project that the state is running has been
lengthy.
It has been hindered by COVID, not able to run workshops with regions and with councils. We've tried to provide an attachment to this report to show the outcome of stage one of their review process. But I guess the fear that I have as Director of Engineering and Infrastructure Services is that if the funding for the maintenance of regional roads is withdrawn, but council is still expected to maintain the regional roads to the same standard, we will have a very difficult
time in doing that
to continue that funding. So the alternative is all the regional roads are returned back to the state, but then we're not able to say who or in what mechanism will those roads be maintained and who sets the program. So we would hope that we would have a say in continuing to maintain the roads and potentially even do the work for transport through some mechanism. But to date, the process hasn't identified what that would be or how that would look. There is a lot of uncertainty around this whole process.
Yep. So that'll go for the entire 636.79 Ks of road that's going to be. Uncertainty from the state government. Beautiful.
No, I think as Adrian said, that
well, you won't get any.
This review has just been so so long. Mm. Yeah, like, and
one thing they've run into. But not well,
what people want. Right. If there's no more questions, all those in favour?
Yeah.
Those against, those carried. Now we go to page. Page 263, right?
Yeah.
10.5, tree assessment, 47 Orange Street, Condobolin. Someone like to move the recommendation, please? Please. Councillor Rees. Seconder. Councillor Bendall. Right. We're happy with the recommendation? A question.
I'm happy with the recommendation, but I'm still not happy that we're publicly publishing a form that contradicts itself. I think I've been talking about the form that's
Right.
The last 2.5 years. And whilst I think it has been updated in its table format because the colours are slightly different and the arrangement of the columns, the same questions appear to be in it. And then even in this tree assessment, there is stuff that says, you know, if yes, don't remove. If no, don't remove. And we've ticked all of those boxes and we've agreed to remove the trees, which we have to because they, you know, are dangerous. And I'm sweet with that. But we're going to come across a ratepayer at some point that argues to the high heavens that we've ticked a certain box and we've gone against our own form. That's the same comment I've had for every tree assessment.
And
can I just ask one question? If we keep knocking down all these trees, are we going to have any left?
Hang on, Dennis. We'll get into Councillor Rees. Who wants to go there?
Greg?
Yeah.
I understand Councillor Rees's comment, and I look very closely at this myself. And I think you've got to look at it as a flow-through, because in the first section where we've ticked yes and it says do not remove, then allows us, if that had been no, we might have stopped. But we flow through the rest of the form until we get a no, and then it's to be removed. And once you get to that point, then that's the recommendation we write.
I completely get that, and I understand it's a workflow document, but I'm sure there's potential in some ratepayers that would get that and go, well, no, you've ticked this box up the top, and if it says if yes, remove, but down the bottom we make our final determination. So I'm not sure if you can have a staged work through form or something like that just to protect us, I suppose, because there will be people that go, no, you've set up the top of that form, it needs to be removed and you'll remove it. I get that it's a workflow. I work with workflows continuously every day and I just don't think this is a very effective one. Opens us up to arguments. Happy to have the trees removed. They're definitely dangerous, all for that. Yeah. But it just doesn't make sense.
You're talking about the document.
The assessment document doesn't make sense.
I think we'll just leave that one for review to look at the operational thing to work out. But I think the recommendation is still to remove the trees. I don't think has anybody got a question about that?
Yeah, I have a question about that.
Right, I think.
I've seen the damage that they've done, and I understand. Yeah, okay. If we keep removing all these trees, we live in a very dry climate. It takes 40-odd years to get a decent tree. How are we going to have any trees left? Because, you know, we've got rid of them down there. We're getting rid of them here. Okay, there might have been the wrong variety, but is there some way that we can then remediate the problem without actually taking them down? Because, you know, you look at Orange, you drive down Big Street, you've got those beautiful big London plane trees. No one's asking for them to be removed. When Orange City Council came up to shift, remove 500 trees, look at the protest they got and look how many councils got kicked out of the council. So, you know, I think it's time that we did have a look at the trees and see what we can do to keep them, because it's going to take a long time to replace them.
Unfortunately, these trees are commonly known as widow makers. I just drop their branches because I get a bit stressed.
All Australian trees do.
Well, these are the types of trees that had to be removed.
We just had a box tree fall down from it outside on the Shire boundary.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a question of yours, Dennis, to about the trees looking at real, and I think we're looking at this quite often. Do you want to reply at all to that, Adrian, or you? Because the recommendation is to remove the tree and also replace with actually three more trees, is it?
Well, that's a Shire policy.
Yeah.
Remove and replace.
Yeah. And I think everybody agrees in here that we don't like taking trees out unless we have to.
You know, are we going to live for another 40 years to see them grow?
Well, I'd like
to. I will. I'll see them.
But you mightn't be here.
It's a bit of medical intervention, but I'll be here.
I'll be here.
Maybe not.
Connie?
Just a question to the
councillor.
You call him the general manager. Those big gum trees, I mean, given that one fellow the other day did considerable damage to our mate's property and that, I mean, it probably makes sense to either trim that tree, the second tree back or get rid of it. But, I mean, they're doing a lot of damage around town. We see them all. It's sort of been discussed as long as I've ever been involved with council up and down Battle Street and everywhere, and it's probably starting to affect the sewers in general areas too. But, we do believe in replacing them. None of us do believe in taking them out. But can they actually be trimmed successfully so they don't overgrow, or does that kill them?
Kill. When I did my training, the rule of thumb was, particularly with natives like eucalypts, they shouldn't be locked or pruned because you only create a more hazardous tree than the one you started with, and it doesn't obviously stop the underground growth, which if there's sewers and issues, then the roots aren't being trimmed or pruned. They can still access the sewers if they're there, but the regrowth that'll come on a eucalypt after you've trimmed it and pruned it is more hazardous. So it's not a practice that I would advocate we implement.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Yeah, it's just that, you know, like the bees love them and the birds love them. It's just a shame to get rid of them. We need to really replace them with something they're going to still attract. It's not going to turn those birds and the bees and all the mother nature things away. That's all.
In other words, appropriate place, Dave. Appropriate place. All right. We've all have a bit of a question about that one. We'll put it to the vote. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? That is carried. Moving on. We'll get close to you. Right, now to page 272, deputations. We haven't got any deputations coming into the chamber. 12, notice of motions. I don't have any notice of motions, which are nil. Notices of rescission motions. I don't have any of those in front of me, so that is nil also. So now moving on to page 273, the delegates' reports, and the first one is 14.1, which is the Central New South Wales Joint Organisation Board meeting, which was held on the 26th of November 21 in Orange. Would someone like to move that recommendation of that?
I move it.
Councillor Dave Carter, and I think it was Councillor Rees, was it? Any questions on that board meeting? And that board meeting was actually the last one for the term, and the next board meeting is on the 24th of February in Cabon, and there will be an election for a new chair and deputy chair. If I remember rightly, out of the 10 councils, there is 4 new mayors coming onto that board, so that'll be so it'll give a bit of revamp.
Get a new picture then.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's once old. You know.
I think it's done us a deal because the other thing we're going to try and revitalise back into it too is, you know, that I did a 4-year term on that board, and it's supposed to be only for 2 years. And the idea is you should do, you know, like 2 years and all take it in a turn. To do it, and also create a succession plan, which I think we've talking about already. I think we've got that organised down the track. So and hopefully we work through and keep lobbying for our councils, all our councils, and advocating on their behalf, and we'll see how we go there. Have I got any questions on the board organisation? Because Jenny, our executive officer, and she's actually going around all the, especially the 4 new councillors with new mayors, and visiting the councils and giving them an overview of what actually the joint organisation does on behalf of each council, and also to induct the new mayors what their role will be with the joint organisation as well, which is and she's doing most of that online, so that makes things a little bit hard, a bit easier, because we only meet four times a year, and I don't know if you noticed in there, because we've got a federal election coming up sooner rather than later, and I think at the end of March the joint organisation is going to spend 2 days down in Canberra. Doing some lobbying and that sort of thing on behalf of the group, half of the councils, to see what we can get to happen for our areas and see how we go. All right, any questions?
Can I just ask a question on the joint organisation?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to be a member, do you have to be? If you're in a council in the area, or is it up to the council?
It's up to the council.
It's up to the council.
Yeah, because...
have we got any councils which are in our area that aren't members of it?
No, not really. Lithgow was the only one. They pulled out the term before last and went up into the Blue Mountains. But now they want to come back.
Okay.
And you can also be an associate member.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not a fully fledged.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. But the state government actually is recommending that joint organisation, like all councils should be a member of a joint organisation, because you take like Orana, which we were talking about earlier, they put a letter in to disband it altogether. But now the elections have happened, and Dubbo, which wasn't a member of the Orana joint organisation. They've got a completely new council, and so it looks like there'll be a bit of a reversal there by the way to what happens, because a review has actually happened on the joint organisation, and we're trying to get meetings and that sort of thing with them, because the review didn't really get to the bottom of really how joint organisations work, because we need to be able to work with the government agencies. If you don't work with the government agencies, or the agencies work with the JO, it's not going to happen. I think that is one of the biggest issues. It's all one word, communication. Yeah, it's a big thing. It doesn't matter whether it happens here or in the joint organisation.
Yeah,
okay. Alrighty. Yeah. No questions? All those in favour?
No.
Those against? That is carried. Where are we going now? Correspondent. Sorry about that. Right, page 334. 15, correspondence. Would someone like to move the recommendation that must be dealt with? Councillor Phillips. Councillor Brady. Right, what's the first one?
Reporting of labour statistics.
What's that?
Reporting of labour statistics.
Hi. So, any questions on the report there, on the statistics and on labour and et cetera? We need a... There's no actual decisions to be made on any of those, is it? Yep, please. I'll ask the general manager to give us a bit of an overview there so we can...
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Three items of correspondence in this report. The first one is advice from the Office of Local Government about a new requirement for us to report our employment statistics to the state government. They're tracking the number of contractors and part-time employees, temporary appointments that councils make, and I believe it's possibly driven by the unions, because they've been asking similar questions about reduction in the number of full-time employees and casual work. So we're now providing that information. The second item was just to inform council about the announcement of the rate peg, which we've discussed previously, and the local government New South Wales and the Country Mayors Association and a number of other industry bodies are making submissions about the impacts of that low rate peg. And the third item is to let council know about the Australian Local Government Women's Association's conference, which is coming up in July, and to ask for nominations for any delegates that would like to attend that conference.
Nominations in by.
Sooner the better.
Do
you
want
to do it? There's a holiday inn at Warwick Farm.
Oh, flash.
You're not.
Want to go, Phil?
Women's conference, isn't it? It's the women's conference.
No.
That's right.
I thought it was the women's conference.
It is.
They don't discriminate.
I'm not going to answer that.
Johnny?
Look at the button.
It is in school holidays, if that means anything to anyone.
Just a quick question on that rate, Peg and Greg, and the value of general has rates. Being a house was sold in Lake Adelaide the other day for near enough $1 million. How the value general rate those possible houses around the, simple question, around the edge of the water? How will that affect the next door neighbour and everybody else around that area when you're considering rate pegging, et cetera?
On Greg?
Someone answer that, John.
It's a separate item to the rate peg that the Office of Local Government said.
And I don't know whether I'd have to take the valuation methodology on notice unless Karen's in a position to answer. Yeah, I'll pass that.
Karen?
Yeah, so thank you, Councillor Phelps. Good question. A very good question. But as the General Manager said, the rates peg is a totally different scenario to actually the valuation of properties for rating purposes. So the Valuer General undertakes the valuation of property for rating purposes on a 2 to 3 year interval. And so what they will look at, amongst other things, is the size of the blocks of land, the use of the land, and sales. Definitely property sales will come into that. Could I tell you what that's going to mean with the next valuation? Not at this point, no. But if there were multiples of sales at a very high value, you could probably expect that the property values would
go up,
which may mean then that their rates go up potentially. But given that our rates are constrained by the rates peg, we're only allowed to increase our rates for the whole council by a certain amount, that percentage for the year. It may not mean that they go up. It may mean that, but they could. Yes. So the rates peg itself, one thing that, amongst other things, should probably bring to council's attention is when they did the review of the rating system and talked about incorporating growth in population growth into how they calculate the rates peg. They've actually stated in their one-line stater from IPART is that no council would be worse off. So clearly our council will be significantly worse off under this type of rates peg than we would have been under a one-size-fits-all. So that's disappointing, to say the least. Yeah.
Just one to follow on, Karen. How often does the Valuer General set the rates? Like every 2-3 years or?
Generally every 2 to 3 years, they will go and they'll revalue property. Yes. So the last review, I think, is effective 1st July 2019.
Okay.
So we could be getting one in the next, by July 2022, although to the best of my knowledge, we haven't been notified of that. There is an option for when the actual valuations come out, there is an they go on public display as such, and there is actually an option for landholders to object to that. How much note they take of that, I don't know. But that's something that council does advertise, and that when we're advised of that.
Mr. Mayor, thank you, Karen. The reason I ask that, because some years ago, fortunate enough to have those views, and they didn't discriminate against their rates and charges, and there's quite a pool happening around Lake Angelico. So hence the question, but thank you for answering it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Right, any other questions on the... anyone want to go to the conference? That's what we're going to get to. What date was it?
I'll go.
7th of the 9th.
Look at that. Look, these eager beavers.
Good on them.
Okay.
Oh, she's in.
Good.
I think Judy needs a friend.
I said I'll.
Good. Well done.
No, it's my downtime between spraying and harvest. So I'm actually going on holiday. I don't know if I suggest a frog we're going to Warwick Farm.
It's a good time to do it now.
That'll...
Time to work on it.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Judith. And thank you,
we'll put the make a reservation.
I am happy to fully support
whoever wants
the
to
two lovely ladies who have expressed an interest.
And the mover and second are quite happy with that.
I'm happy.
All right. Anything else we've got to cover in that? No. All right. All those in favour?
No.
Thanks again. Harry? Very good. We've got the local government conference coming up at the end of February. Got to cover that too.
It's already done.
But there, apparently there is a little bit of doubt, so we've just got to watch the space.
Funny that.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's
been seen happening all the time.
Yeah. Are you close to doing this one?
No.
Right here. But now we're on page 342, questions which notice was given. Haven't got any of those. Nothing's been put in front of me. Nil. And there is no petitions today. And we're about to go into closed session. I think we might just have a little 5-minute break.
Can we have it after we move into close?
Oh, right. Someone like to, any reason why we shouldn't move into closed session? Someone like to move that we're...
Move to move into close.
So Councillor Rees and second to Councillor Bendall.
I'll move it. You have a break too, prior.
All those in favour?
Yep.
That is against. That is carried. So now we'll have a break. To go online.
Before you go, Mr. Mayor, General Manager said he wanted to mention something.
Okay, we're recording.
Do I need it? All right, closed session. The first one is 18.1, rates and charges donation, which was moved by Councillor Phillips and secondly Councillor Carter. The recommendation is one, that the Director of Corporate and Community Service report number R21218 be received and noted, and two, the Council determine the amount of any rates and charges if a concession be granted to the Rotary Club in Condon Street property assessment, and that was $1,386. And that was carried. The next report, which is 18.2, Cyber Security Roles and Responsibility Policy, and that was moved by Councillor Brady, seconded by Councillor Bendall. The recommendation is that one, that the Director of Corporate and Community Service report number R21330 be received and noted, and two, the Cyber Security Roles and Responsibility Policy be adopted, and that was carried. 18.3, adoption of its change of management policy. It was moved by Councillor Brady, seconded by Councillor Bartholomew. The recommendation is that the Director of Corporate and Community Service report number R21332 be received and noted, and two, that the IT change management policy be adopted, and that was carried. The next report was 18.4, tender assessment, Murray Creek and Smyth's Corner culvert installation. And it was moved by Councillor Carter, seconded by Councillor Bendall. The recommendation that the Director of Infrastructure Service report number R21360 be received and noted, and two, that the tender submissions from the Folwick construction project be accepted, and three, that the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to execute their contract documents and affix the Council seal, and that was carried. Next report, 10.5, tender assessment, curb and gutter and concreting works, and that which was moved by Councillor Carter, seconded by Councillor Mortimer. The recommendation is one, that the Director of Infrastructure Service report number R21361 be received and noted, two, the tender submission from Connex Group Proprietary Limited be accepted, three, that the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to execute the contract and document to fix the Council seal, and that was carried. And 18.6, tender assessment, Nerthathong Bridge design and construction, which was moved by Councillor Carter, seconded by Councillor Bendall. The recommendation that one, the Director of Infrastructure Service report number R21362 received and noted, and two, the tender submission from Murray Construction Project Limited be accepted, and three, the Mayor and the General Manager be authorised to execute the contract document and affix the Council seal, and that was carried. And the 18.7, tender assessment, Condoblin Bore Pipeline Underbore Contract, was moved by Councillor Bendall, seconded by Councillor Bartholomew. at the recommendation that one, the Director of Infrastructure Services report number R21363 be received and noted, and two, that the tender submission from Trails Abet Proprietary Limited be accepted. Three, the Mayor and General Manager be authorised to execute their contract documents and affix the council's seal, and that was carried. And the final, is this a final one? No, it's a couple more to go. 18.8, contract extension review Caravan Park and Lakeview Caravan Park. It was moved, Councillor Brady, seconded Councillor Mortimer, with the recommendation one, the Director of Environment, Tourism and Economic Development report number R22-1 be received and noted. Two, the existing contract with PRO and Management Proprietary Limited be for the operation and management of the Riverview and Lakeview Caravan Parks be extended from the 31st of January 2022 to the 30th of June 2022. Three, the Mayor and General Manager be authorised to sign the deed contract with the PRO, Management Proprietary Limited, and affix the council seal, and that was carried. And finally, 19.9, the final audit management letter for the year ended the 30th of June 2021, and that was moved Councillor Phillips and seconded Councillor Bendall. One, that the recommendation that one, the Director of Corporate and Community Services report number R22-12 be received and noted, and two, the response to the final audit management letter,
financial
end of the 30th of year 2021 be noted, and that was carried. And that is, we moved out of closed session. That was moved by Councillor Bendall and seconded by Councillor Mortimer, and that was carried. All right, I think that's the final of the closed session. We carried that. Now we do have a couple of other items to deal with you. This morning we had a meeting with Carolyn Malouf. The finals of the zone of the Showgirl competition, which will be held in Cadaveland on the 5th of March, which is not that far away. And I think the last time they had them here was in 1996 or something, was it?
Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
And so, therefore, you're looking at around about 250 people coming and being a part of us. It'll be on a Friday night, and they'll be here all day on a Saturday with dinner on Saturday night. Because there will be interviews and et cetera, going on there. And Carolyn came in to see the support from the council and asking if we would like to be a part of it. And there's an event in the town, and I think it will be because we've got visitors coming here, staying and what, et cetera.
I think it's for the
just hand over to Greg to what they actually were talking about. Wanting. I don't think she had much idea how we could help her.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So, Carol Ann's, this event's been proposed for 2 years and it's been deferred several times, and they weren't exactly sure when it could go ahead. And she was very apologetic that it is short notice to the 5th of March, but they've just had confirmation of the date. She said their committee is down on numbers and volunteers, but they're still looking to pull it together. She wasn't very sure how much money she needed, but after giving us some thought, she came back and said that if council could be the primary sponsor or the major sponsor for the event and donate $2,000, she felt that would cover the costs and the shortfall that they had. I indicated to her that we'd need to get some indication of what she required the money for, and she said the printing of the program through the local printers, they were looking for $580, name badges for the entrance, $160, which would also be sourced locally, a luncheon for the participants and the judges, which is being held at the RSL Club in Condoblin at a cost of $500, the cost of the SRA Pavilion not-for-profit hire fees, which is $350, and then flowers for the finalists and the VIP guests were $410. That straight away comes up to a figure of around about $1,500, and she suggested that there would be other costs. She just couldn't detail them at this stage. Because the next meeting of council is 23rd of February and their event's on the 5th of March, it just wasn't going to work out date-wise. So she was asking for some indication of whether council would support it to the tune of
$2,000. Move it. I'd like to move that we support it in light of a number of other events that have been cancelled and we haven't spent the donations budget due to COVID. And I think being that it's a zone final, it's going to pick up a number of our shire towns anyway. I think we'll fall in our zone.
Comes a fairly big area.
Yeah, and I would like to move we support for $2,000.
If Councillor Reid, second to Councillor Blewett, that we do the donation of $2,000 and before I put it, does anyone want to say anything extra?
I think it's a very good idea.
Good idea. Are you happy with that, Megan?
Very happy.
Dave?
Yep. Yep.
Dennis. All right. Got it. All those in favour?
Yep.
Those against? Those carried? I think it's easy. I think it's a good event, and I've also indicated I'll be quite happy to go along and do it.
I'd be quite happy to go also if they need another person.
We definitely do.
I love a good event.
Also, the races are on that day too.
Which ones? Tottenham races.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've got three fascinators I didn't get to wear last year.
Can I just talk? Yeah.
I can go because I don't go the race.
Now we've just got another.
Wear your fascinators.
Gordon? No, we're still going. Yeah. Do I swear to it?
No.
Also, we've got the nurse Elizabeth Greger coming up, and Alan Miles, who's FAM, who's actually been trying to organise this. He's been trying to get information across and that sort of thing, and he's working on the program. And he's been talking to Greg, and he's sent him some information on what's happening. And I just can't find the date of it, but I'll just hand over to Greg an update of what we've actually got the specs that he's expecting to do.
Yeah. Thanks again, Mr. Mayor. The date for the opening still hasn't been determined, but I know that he is hoping for March or early April. I've distributed a copy of a couple of programs that he sent for me. One's a report on the recent function that was held in Gunnedah for Annie Egan, and the second one is his project proposal for Nurse Elizabeth McGregor. He's given an indication of the support that he is hoping to receive from council, and I'll be asking Adrian and his staff just to do a costing up for that and to come back to the February meeting of council with those final costs. It should be noted that we're currently holding around about $4,000 in reserve that was allocated last financial year for this project, and depending on what the final estimate comes out to be, we may have sufficient funds or we might need a little bit more, but we'll give you the details next month. But I just wanted to explain why those documents were on the desk in front of you, because it is sitting in an active resolution as an outstanding task.
So that's just information to what's coming up. So and this will be all set, I think it's going to be set down in the park, and right in the park in the, somewhere near the Wall of Remembrance down there.
That'll be good, because there's been, like, I noticed a number of people stopped at the William Beach.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd call it a memorial, but the information thing there, reading, and so to have that and this as well, I think would be really...
Because originally they talked about doing it up at the RSL, just doing a plug there, but the family that actually here, they would like to see it down there because of what you've just said.
Yeah.
The amount of people that do up down there.
To have a look at the beach one.
Yeah, the beach one and also our wall and everything else we've got in there, which is quite spectacular at the moment. It's nice and green with the river up where it is too.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Lots of Aussies too.
Anything else you want? Any other? I think that's about all we've got for the council meeting and this sort of thing. I might just ask after there whether there's any other questions, but I might declare the council meeting closed and remind you that the next strategic briefing is on the 9th of February. Next council meeting is on the 23rd of February, and those dates are coming around very quickly. And thank you very much for those councillors also who supported us Australia Day yesterday, and I think it was a terrific day, and the opening of those amenities and the youth centre down there, and it's great to see that we're going forward. All right, thank you very much.